Let's go back to Paul Whiteman, part five, that we did on Yesterday USA with Perry Huntoon and Walden Hughes, well over a year now. November 20, 2022, here's Paul Whiteman with Perry Huntoon.
Well, we'll start off by just a little description here. In May of 1930, Paul was in Atlantic City, and he was walking the boardwalk, and he noticed the scarcity of people. Usually, at this time of year, people were flocking to the boardwalk. It was quite the resort area back in those days, and they weren't there. And it was a realization we were in the depths of the Depression, and it affected him. His weekly Old Gold radio show was being canceled. Columbia had cut back on recording sessions, and the New York debut of the movie The King of Jazz had been a disappointment, causing a theater to cancel the second and third weeks of the band's scheduled appearance there. The Rhythm Boys had left in April, and in May, although it broke his heart to do so, Paul had to let go 10 of his musicians, and he cut the salaries of the others by 15%. And among the musicians who left were Lenny Hayden, Joe Venuti, Eddie Lang, and arranger Bill Chalice. So these are fairly important losses to him. But the financial situation was such that that's what he had to do. But what he did was quickly lined up a tour through Massachusetts and a long engagement at a newly constructed casino, Hollywood Gardens, that was located up in the Bronx. Well, they were paid $5,000 a week for that engagement. A year earlier, they wouldn't have taken less than $10,000. But it turned out that business was very good. And Paul, despite an offer from Universal to become musical head of the company, he decided, I'm going to remain a band leader. So, to get to the music, at one of his earliest Columbia sessions, Paul recorded a new version of the famous original Dixieland jazz band, Tiger Rag. One of the jazzier Whiteman recordings of 1930, the new Tiger Rag, features a chase chorus by Andy Sechrist, who had replaced Bix in the band, and Frankie Trumbauer. Tram also leads the saxes for a little chorus, and this record charted for 4 weeks in September and October of 1930. So here we go, the new Tiger Rag. We'll be right back. The New Tiger Rag, recorded on June 25th, 1930. But we're going to move ahead to September, and Paul's recording of the Johnny Green classic, Body and Soul. Body and Soul was written for the English actress Gertrude Lawrence, who introduced it to London audiences. And Libby Holman first performed it in the U.S., but it was Whiteman's recording that topped the charts for 6 weeks and popularized the song. Roy Bargey's arrangement captures the poignant mood of the song, and Jack Fulton's falsetto vocal kind of fits the lovelorn lyrics well, and Andy Sechrist plays a fine 8-bar solo on this. So here's Paul Whiteman's Body and Soul.
Have grown so lonely, for I have lost my one and only. My pride has been humbled, but I am yours, body and soul. I was a mere sensation, my house of cards had no foundation. Although it has tumbled, I still am yours, body and soul. What lies before me, the future is stormy, a winter that's gray and old. Unless there's magic, the end will be tragic, and echo the tale that's been told so often. My life revolved about you. What earthly good am I without you? My castles have crumbled, but I am yours, body and soul.
Soul, a tune that has gone on to become one of the great American standards. Well, following month, October, the band headed to Chicago to play at the Granada Cafe with a radio wire there that would lead to nightly broadcasts. Hey, for Paul, life was good again. Well, the band had followed Guy Lombardo into the Granada, which was, next to the Black Hawk, the most popular night spot in the city at that time. Lombardo, as we well know, moved to New York, to the Roosevelt Hotel, and he would remain there for decades. But in January 1931, Whiteman again began a weekly sponsored radio program. He also took a one-year contract to be NBC's musical director in Chicago. In September, Whiteman went back to Victor, as he hadn't done any recording for Columbia in a year, and they had no studio in Chicago. Well, Victor didn't either, but NBC did. So we move now to December of 1931, And we're going to feature Mildred Bailey. Mildred had signed a 3-year contract with Paul in the summer of 1929. And while in Chicago, her popularity just soared as she was featured on his NBC broadcasts. So on December 31, she scored a number one hit with a classic song, All of Me. It was written by Seymour Simons and Gerald Mark, and Roy Bargey did the arrangement. Mildred got good supporting solos by several members of the band, Nat Natoli, Chester Hazlitt, Andy Sechrist, and Hal Matthews. Louis Armstrong also had a number one hit with his version, but here is Mildred and the White Men Band, All of Me. Sounding pretty good and back in that day. And that song, of course, became quite the standard also, just like Body and Soul. Count Basie charted with it in 1943, Frank Sinatra with a version in 1948, and Johnny Ray in 1952. So it just went on and on and on. Well, Paul Whiteman moved back to New York in 1932, in March, after this renaissance in Chicago. And by then, the band had greatly expanded. He was back on network radio and recording frequently for Victor. It was a rather triumphant homecoming for him. And his old arranger, Ferdy Groffi, had been busy all of 1931 composing concert works for Whiteman, pretty much leaving the popular and dance numbers to others. His major work was the Grand Canyon Suite, and this became his masterpiece. It was recorded in five movements in April of 1932, and by far, the best remembered was On the Trail, which refers to the Bright Angel Trail over which tourists would ride mules down into the Grand Canyon. This turned out to be the most creative movement and became a hit record, taking up two sides of a 12-inch 78. So settle back and relax for the next 7 minutes or so and listen to Ferdy Groffi's masterpiece, On the Trail. Thank you. Record like that being a hit today in today's market with the youth of America, but in 1932 it was, and of course it's much more in a classical mode, and that was by Paul Whiteman and his concert orchestra. Well, we'll move up to August 11th, 1932 for a pair of songs. First up, Mildred Bailey again, well worth an encore. And this is with the Harry Woods tune, We Just Couldn't Say Goodbye. Bud Livingston provides a rather jaunty arrangement, but with no instrumental solos on this one. Instead, it's a great showcase for Mildred's vocal talents. Mildred would leave Whiteman shortly after this recording session, as her salary demands became more than Paul could endure. She just wanted more and more. She felt that she was worth it, and Paul was feeling very squeezed, so their relationship came to an end after this session. But this particular recording reached number 3 on the charts. Guy Lombardo's version with Brother Carmen made it all the way to the top at number 1. But here we go with Mildred. Just Couldn't Say Goodbye.
Striking 12 o'clock, it smiled on us below. you if you go. So I went back and kissed him, and when I looked around, the room was singing love songs and dancing up and down. And now we're both so happy because at last we found that we just couldn't say goodbye.
Perhaps Mildred couldn't say goodbye, but we're going to have to say goodbye to her as she leaves the band, and that takes her out of the picture here. But from the same session, we now turn to Fred McKenzie, who replaced Bing Crosby in the band. A Ted Fiorito tune, Three on a Match, charted for 5 weeks, and that also reached number three in the charts. Fred was a great vocalist. He's famous for his Mound City Blue Blowers recordings of the 20s, where he not only sang, but played the comb. But he didn't achieve great success with Whiteman. Paul had heard him on a Cleveland radio station in February of 32, liked what he heard, signed him to a three-year contract. However, Red left a year later, in February 33, to go out on a theater tour as a solo act. On this recording, Bill Rank opens the recording with a couple of muted trombone solos, and then Red comes in for the chorus. Three on a Match. McKenzie. He would go on to record fairly prolifically in the middle 30s, but he pretty much faded from the scene by the end of the decade. He did perform on some of Eddie Condon's town hall concerts in the mid 40s, but then he retreated to St. Louis, and I think he died in 1948, fairly young, probably a result of alcoholism. Well, now we're going to feature Ramona Davies. Ramona was a pianist and a vocalist who Whiteman heard on a Cincinnati radio station, WLW. And he hired her in June of 1932, and she stayed with the band until 1937 and was extensively featured on recordings both with the band and under her own name, just Ramona. She's featured on the next recording. This is from September 26, 1932, and she shines on both vocal and piano. The band follows her vocal with a swinging chorus, and this tune reached number 2 spot in the charts, Let's Put Out the Lights. Same month, September of 1932, we feature another singer, and her name, Irene Taylor. Irene sang on Whiteman's recording of Mississippi Mud back in 1928, and subsequently gained a popular radio following in Chicago. Whiteman hired her to replace Mildred Bailey, and here she does a fine job on Willow Weep for Me, a tune by Ann Ronell, with an arrangement by Holly Aids. Aids wrote stock arrangements for the Irving Berlin Music Company, and this is one of three arrangements of his that Whiteman recorded. Irene left the band in March 1933, subsequently married Seeger Ellis and sang with his band. But here she is with Paul Whiteman, Willow Weep For Me. That's the only version of that song I've ever heard anybody sing the verse to. But that was Irene Taylor. Nice job. Well, let's go back to Ferdy Groffy. He had tendered his resignation in December 1931, and he'd been out of the band for a year at this point. But he continued to supply Whiteman with arrangements. And here he comes up with one for Paul's concert orchestra of Cole Porter's Night and Day, from the Fred Astaire musical, The Gay Divorcee. On this one, the Pickens Sisters, a trio under contract to NBC and appearing with Whiteman on radio, they're featured in the intro with their unusual humming, followed by violins introducing the melody. After more humming, Bunny Berrigan, now in the band, offers a brief solo, followed by a vocal by a guy named Phil Dewey, D-U-E-Y, about whom I know nothing, perhaps a temporary replacement for Red McKenzie, I don't know. Berrigan follows with a muted solo, one of his best on a Whiteman recording. Here we are with Ferdy Groppi's arrangement, Night and Day. That was a number one hit for Fred Astaire himself, who recorded it with Leo Reisman's band back in that day. And that tune's been recorded many, many times and charted. Charlie Barnett had an instrumental version in 1940. Frank Sinatra did a version in 1942. Bing Crosby in 1946, all charting. Well, in April 1933, Paul went back on the road for the first time in a year. on a series of one-nighters arranged by the William Morris Agency, and then he regrouped back in New York in June. Well, the next big number one hit for Paul Whiteman was the Otto Harbeck, Jerome Kern tune, Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, from the Broadway musical Roberta. Paul recorded it 15 days before the show opened, and the record was released just 4 days after the show's first night. 15 weeks on the charts, 6 at number one. Bob Lawrence is a singer. He had joined the band in September as a violinist and singer after Whiteman heard him on a Hartford radio station and liked his singing. So here is Bob Lawrence, Smoke Gets in Your Eyes. Closes up as we turn the corner into 1934. Billy Hill had written a song called The Last Roundup that was featured in the Ziegfeld Follies of 1933. And that kind of launched a hillbilly trend on Broadway. So for the following year's show, Billy and Peter DeRose teamed up for Wagon Wheels. Bob Lawrence again takes the vocal, with Charles Strickfaden accompanying him on English horn. It was another number one hit for Whiteman, a great way to start the year. Wagon Wheels.
Wagon Wheels. land had landed, waiting for this cotton to load. Go along, mule, the boss is understanding, there's a pasture at the end of each road. Wagon wheels, wagon wheels, keep on turning, wagon wheels, roll along, sing your song, wagon wheels, carry me home, wagon wheels, carry me
Paul Whiteman, part five with Perry Huntoon, and there'll be a part six, and that'll come up next month here on Same Time, Same Station. What's up next week, Larry?
It is another look at Howard McNear. That's next week here on Same Time, Same Station.